All right, again, everybody, appreciate you coming out this morning. I know it wasn't easy. I know the north-south roads especially weren't as easy. Appreciate those that did some shoveling this morning. Tom was early, shoveled the walk, and came back. And we had some of the Biddle clan out there shoveling as well. And Mike Hale brought his Kubota over and helped clear the drive. So appreciate them a lot. So everybody made it through Super Bowl, made it through Valentine's Day. So I'm assuming so. Okay. Eagles fan is happy. So talk about rumors today. Rumors. Not conspiracy theories, but rumors. Rumors is some things are, you get to rumors and conspiracy theories, some are false that they want you to believe is true, some are true they want you to believe is false, so we got to discern what those things are. But, you know, we hear a lot of things, and things get our attention, and, you know, we like to believe a lot of things we hear. Sometimes we don't actually test them to see if they're true or not. And, you know, just things you hear, yeah, if you're, well, you won't remember, but you remember it happened in 1938. H.G. Wells had a war of the world. Well, Greta might remember, but I know. I'm sorry. I love you. There was a radio program, War of the Worlds, by H.G. Wells. People believed it. They thought the Martians were landing, that aliens were on Earth. People were panicking. But rumors cause all kinds of issues, generally. Rumors tend to turn into gossip. Again, mostly untrue. It's always the hint of truth that keeps them going. But mostly untrue, but it does hurt those involved. And rumors are in all kinds of life. They're even in sports. I always go back to sports. There's sports. There's rumors. There's trade rumors. You know, what we're going to, there's rumors, and they're not told about it, the players. They read about it online just like we do. And, you know, they're being rumors they're going to be traded for somebody else. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means we don't want you anymore by one team. That means we don't want you. We think we'd be better off without you. Now, some of that revolves around finances in major sports. But it means we want to get better by getting rid of you. You know, there's rumors of that. And that has to hurt a little bit. They know it's, they always say, I know it's a business. It still has to hurt. You know, they've got family, they've got kids maybe in school and things. So it affects a lot of people. You know, there's rumors of people being together. Rumors of people not being together. People together that aren't supposed to be. People not together that are supposed to be. You got all kinds of rumors. That starts the gossip. You got rumors of work and changes coming. Sometimes they're true. Sometimes they're true. You know, the Lord said there's going to be rumors of war, but, you know, says the end's still to come. You know, there's always going to be these things happen. But that doesn't mean the end's coming. You know, the doomsday clock is reset every year. And they base it on nuclear, where we're at, nuclear technology, what's being used. They base it on biological technology, where that's going. They look at climate and where that's going. And technology general. In general, they look at technology, who has what, where are we going. And, you know, if you get to midnight, that's the end of time. Midnight, the day's over. The day of the Lord has come, so to speak. As of right now, we're 89 seconds away. We're 89 seconds away until midnight. Closer than we've ever been. And, you know, so there's always going to be the doomsday people and, you know, the world's bad enough and all these things that the Lord's coming back. And he is, but sometimes you see people that set times. That's very dangerous. Nobody knows. You know, I once had a Sunday school teacher said, well, it's going to be in the fall. Because he said there was going to be a harvest. Okay, well, whose fall? Is it going to be in North America's fall? Is that going to be in South America this fall? Oh, never mind. But you cannot pinpoint a time when this is going to happen. And Paul's responding to this already. We're going to be in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And Paul's already responding to end time rumors, because it was already creating a stir in the Thessalonian church. They were already told that it happened and they missed it. That would be a bad place to be in, that the day of the Lord had already come, but they had missed it. Can you imagine the feeling they were thinking, I'm not supposed to be here. The Lord said we were going with him. And ever have those moments, the rapture is going to be there, and you look around, you can't find somebody. I'll be home, just me and Joni. Joni's nowhere to be found. I thought, ugh, sure. I was so sure. But then she shows up, so poof. But it's going to be a feeling you're not going to want to experience when it truly happens. But I want to read Paul's answer here in 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 12. It says, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by the teaching allegedly from us, whether by a prophecy or by word of mouth or by letter, asserting that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up as God in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember when I was with you, I used to tell you these things, and now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie. And all the ways that wickedness deceive those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and to be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. Paul says, look, it hasn't happened. You misunderstood something in my letter, or what somebody said, or maybe there were other people there telling them some lies. He said, it hasn't happened. He said, don't let people get you worked up. Don't be alarmed about things that just haven't happened. He said, don't be deceived, because these things have to happen before the day of the Lord comes. And he said, namely, the man of lawlessness. And we know that also to be called the Antichrist, is to be revealed. And he'll be against everything that is called God or that is worshipped. People do get worked up with wars and rumors of wars and famines and earthquakes, and these things are happening, and things which God said would happen. And we do see the decline of humanity and the lack of morality and the increase in violence and cruelty. And, evil seems to be getting stronger. But it is a spiritual battle, and we really need to keep that in mind. It's a spiritual battle, and Satan isn't God. He's not God. He's not omni-anything. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. He's none of those things. He's very powerful, but he's not all-powerful. We know he copies God, so therefore the Antichrist will come as part of, there is a satanic trinity too, that you read about in Revelation, what's coming. He only copies what God has already done. And he knows there will be a trinity of sorts in his, and thus we get the Antichrist. But he always needed to be ready, because he doesn't know either. He always has to have people ready to step into that role that he can be part of to make this happen. And it starts way back. Some thought the Antichrist was Emperor Gaius. he put his name and image on all of the temples at the time. You know, they thought, some thought it was Diocletian who required everyone to call him Lord. Others thought Antiochus Epiphanes, he's the guy that sacrificed the pig on the altar of the Lord. They thought, that can't happen. But it wasn't, obviously wasn't him. Others said Nero because of how evil he was. He was a terrible person. And more recently, you can throw Hitler in there as being a type of Antichrist. But, you know, we don't know. You know, is he alive today? I don't know. Maybe so. But if so, he hasn't been revealed. You know, it says that, you know, the day of the Lord's going to come when things are just at the end. They're going to be terrible. You know, back in Genesis 6, before the flood, God saw the earth was corrupt and full of violence in his sight. You know, we're going to be back there again. You know, he said, great wickedness and human hearts have thought of evil all the time. We're back in Genesis still. So the end came, except for Noah and his folks who God considered righteous, those who remained faithful. And it will happen that same way to us. You know, we will be saved, but many won't on that day. And we may feel like it now. We may feel like the evil has overcome the world. It's there everywhere. It's staring at us. And the fighting that's going on and the peaceful protests that we see happening all around the world, you know, that we've lived through and that continue on, you know. And I will say we see an evil currently being purged from our government. You know, and I think that's just the tip of the iceberg, what they're finding now. You know, we go with the U.S. aid, right? And you've seen a lot of that. And the U.S. aid, when it was set up for good reasons. It was to help folks. It was to help people. It was to help countries. It was to help countries that had disasters happen, earthquakes and floods and things. It was set up to help people recover from those things. It was set up to help the environment. But by environment, I mean lakes and streams and water, keeping clean water for people and in their locations. It was set up to make hospitals, to help care for people. People that didn't have hospitals to go to. It's kind of ironic. One of the main things they wanted to attack was maternal care. People were losing too many babies. We can't have that happen. We need to have hospitals so babies can be born. There won't be that attrition of childs not being born. And people with poverty, you know, people just down to help them get a leg up. It was to help those people. You know, it had a $40 billion budget in 23. So it's got quite a little money to pass out to folks. You know, I will say it started in 1961. You know, it's been going that long, which might tell you a lot of things. If it's been going on for about 65 years, you know, why didn't somebody find out about this before? You know, I don't know. I know what happened in 1963. You know, the end of one president's tenure. And I see a lot of those things have been opened. There's going to be a lot of stuff coming out. A lot of stuff in a lot of different areas. And I think that's a purge of some evil that's been in our government for a long, long time. You know, we see several countries aligning and preparing for battle. You know, we've been told Iran will not have nuclear weapons. That's the statement made. An agreement by several countries. Other countries don't agree. But a lot of battles aren't with guns and bombs and things. A lot of battles are handled inside. They take out the interior substance of a people or a nation. They work from the inside and deteriorate it to break it down. know, we look at Hamas. Hamas in Arabic means zeal. They have a zeal. Hamas in Hebrew is chamas, which means violence, cruelty, and injustice. In the Bible, it's generally used as a term for violence, just like in Noah's day. You might say they have a zeal for violence. You know, anti-Semitism is high in all countries right now. You know, sometimes you'd thought maybe we'd have been past that with what was gone through in the earlier 1900s. But, you know, again, you see the shouting, the mantra, from the river to the sea, from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea. They want all those people wiped out. All those people are Israel. They want Israel wiped out. They don't want peace. They don't want them there. They don't want them to exist. They want to wipe out the Jewish people. You know, Hitler drew people to him. You know, he made people believe his lies. You know, in spiritualism, there is a magnetism with spiritualism and that draws people, and I think, for either good or bad. You know, there was something about Hitler that draw people to him. That he made believe what he was saying true, want to be a part of that. But others have the Holy Spirit that gives you a magnetism to draw people to you, to Christ. That's a magnet too. But it's a spiritual battle that's been going on, you know, every single day. And we're all in it. We're all part of that battle. You know, it says the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. You know, we see people aligning again with Hitler and his dreams even today. You know, the swastikas have come back. I see they're calling it the Crooked Cross logo now, or the Crooked Cross emblem, but swastikas are coming back. People are bringing up his name again. People are saluting his name again. They're cheering on evil, and they want to be a part of it again. They want to identify with it. And we know they're exchanging the truth for a lie. You know, if we look back, and I don't know if we talked to, I know we talked about it in Bible study in Romans 1:18-32, and I'm not going to read all of that, but it talks about all that there will be darkness and evil, and all the thoughts are evil, and then as things get worse, humanity will make up more ways to be evil. Evil things will be promoted and approved of. God will give them over to depraved minds. It's that point when God gives them over will be the worst. Bad will be good, good will be bad. And this is more worldwide than ever before. We think it's bad, although if you read some of the torturous things and stuff they did in Roman days and before, it was pretty bad back then too. So, you know, things are going to get bad. They're going to be bad. There's going to be a time when they're really bad. And somebody's going to come along with the answers. Somebody's going to be able to please everyone. When the Antichrist is revealed, he's going to be quite a guy. You know, he's probably going to take over a person's body. You say, well, how did he do? Well, he already did once, Judas. The Bible says he entered Judas. And Jesus said, go do what you got to do. He said he took the bread, and then Satan entered Judas. So Satan has that ability. So he has that ability to have one ready for when he's, because he doesn't know the time either. But he's going to make everything better. There's going to be peace. There's going to be prosperity. You know, he's going to show displays of power through signs and wonders. Again, he's very powerful. He can do things too. He's not all powerful, but he can do things. You know, remember the doomsday clock, taking into account nuclear power, which, and I'm reading now, they're starting to bring back nuclear power plants. They think they can do it better this time than the reactors they had before. Smaller, more powerful. They're looking at bringing some of those things back. You know, it was a nuclear climate, biological and technological. you know, climate change and changing the climate. I'll say it again, climate change and changing the climate have been around a long time. It's been around for years. I remember as a kid, you know, they were seeding clouds years and years ago to try to draw rain down. I don't believe they've stopped trying to affect how climate's done. It's nothing new. You know, biologically, and then you think about biological and technological changes, and, you know, artificial intelligence is coming fast. You know, you're not going to know one of these days what's real and what isn't. You're not going to be able to tell the difference. Seems like a good way to do signs and wonders from someone that can't be everywhere, every place. You know, we had our newspaper has a little, kind of got a kick out of it, a little section in it that's called Mr. AI, Adventures in Artificial Intelligence. I got a kick out of this time. He said, you know, we've talked about morality and stuff and legislating it in, that it just can't be done. And we kind of see the same thing with AI. You know, this is Mr. AI says, if AI is to act in alignment with human values, it needs a moral compass. Some of these things are kind of duh, but he says that's where universal principles come in a foundational set of guidelines that govern AI behavior across all applications and context. Well, that sounds wonderful. If we can set morality, what that is, if we can set how AI, this moral compass in AI, but we know it doesn't work. We know morality can't be legislated. It can't, because it changes so much. Because morality over here isn't the same as over here. It can't be done. And he goes down, I'm going to read it all, but he goes down and says, of course, agreeing on, he talks about principles and, you know, guiding to a mutual agreement of what these things are. And he says, of course, agreeing on these principles is easier said than done. Again, a duh. He says, different societies may interpret fairness or autonomy differently. Still, broad international collaboration can identify shared values that reflect humanity's collective wisdom. I think God got a giggle out of that. I did. You imagine, depending on humanity's collective wisdom to make everything right. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. You know, you know, there's going to be a peace that will come because he's going to come up with plans to make everybody happy. I think there's even an option set where he can perhaps build a new temple for the Jewish people on the Temple Mount. There's room on the north side. The Dome of the Rock, if you know, that's where Muhammad, you know, ascended to heaven from the Dome of the Rock. There's talk about there's room for the temple on the other side and just put a wall between. And then everybody might be happy. And you say, well, that's weird. But I want to read Revelation 11, 1 through 3. Not saying it's so. I'm saying that's an option. Revelation 11, 1 through 3 says, I was given a reed like a measuring rod and was told, go and measure the temple of God and the altar with its worshipers. But exclude the outer courts. Do not measure it, because it has been given to the Gentiles. They will trample on the holy city for 42 months. And I will appoint my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. So for 3.5 years, he's going to be a good guy. Then there's going to be 3.5 years, he's going to show his true self. You know, there's going to be good times for 3.5 years. Then 3.5 years, there's not. But it says, notice, it says, don't measure the outer courts. That's where the Rock of the Dome would be. There's no sense in a measure that. It's been given to the Gentiles to trample on for 3.5 years. You know, things are going to look good for 3.5 years. Things are going to be changed, and then he's going to declare himself God. He's going to show his true self. He'll set himself up in God's temple. It would be built by then. And that's kind of the final straw before God figures the end. The day of the Lord comes. Then decisions by those left will have to be made. Do we follow this guy or do we follow God? Do we follow God and face the consequences that are going to come from being left? You don't want to wait till then. You're not going to want to wait till then at all. You've got to make your decision now. You know, we know this hasn't happened yet, and we don't know who he is. When I go back to verse 3, it says, although his power is at work, he won't be revealed until the rebellion occurs. And then in verse 6, it says, and now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. What or who is holding him back? Why isn't he coming? If you look it up, there's all kinds of answers. There's all kinds of answers in what people think, what people say. Some said Rome. Well, obviously, that's not it. Rome doesn't exist as Rome anymore. Others currently say preaching the good news. That keeps Satan at bay, preaching the good news. Some say Israel. Some say just God, which is true. It is God, but I think there seems to be someone or something specific in this passage. Some say it's the government with its laws that keep things in check. That there are laws that keep people in check. And that could be true, at least until the government breaks down. And we've seen that happen. We've seen that happen. Governments don't last. We've seen what happens when morality is attempted to be legislated. It doesn't work. Many are convinced it's Michael. Michael's always in the battle and fighting Satan. He fought over Moses' body. And some say he's holding him down until the time's right to release him. That he's got a hold of him. Michael is very powerful. I think the most common thought is it's the Holy Spirit working through the church. And by church, I mean true believers in Jesus Christ, not churches. The church are true believers in Jesus Christ. What might rebellion look like? You get the term apostasy. It's total rebellion against church authority. Abandonment of faith. That's what rebellion might look like. We're witnessing the decline of the church. We just are. We're seeing persecution. We're seeing false teachers. We're seeing those who forsake worship at all. We're seeing unbelief. And as the church declines, darkness rises. I can see where the church, the Holy Spirit through the church, is keeping things in check. It's keeping him at bay until the time that the Lord has deemed is when it's the time. The darkness is fighting Christian beliefs, Christian practices. Churches, in turn, have compromised and changed. When you say something's compromised, that means it's failing. You got a hole in your boat, it's compromised. You're going to sink. You got a water pipe that busted, it's been compromised. You got a leak, you're going to have problems. Churches have compromised. They've compromised and they're failing. The foundation of the church is eroding. We look at denominations and churches around that have compromised and failed to tell the truth. And when the true church is gone, what will be left to hold him back? Nothing. When the tribulation happens and the church is gone, there's going to be chaos. It's It's going to open up a time for somebody to have the answers. But when the church is not here, who's going to hold him back? That's when he's going to be revealed. Now, whether you're a pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, I don't care. You can believe any of those things you like. To me, this is an example of a pre-trib where the church is taken. Believers are taken. The Holy Spirit in the church is taken. That allows something else to come to power, darkness to come to power. You want to have an invitation song in a minute? But we still have good news. The good news is still the good news. You know, as they say, don't freak out about things people are going to say. The end's coming. You know, the sky's falling. They don't know. We don't know. Don't get hung up on rumors. Don't forget God's in control. He's got it. You know, look at the signs of the times, but know the truth. You know what to look for. God's calendar is not our calendar. And he keeps his private. He doesn't share it. And only he knows the time and the date. It isn't something to be feared. But we should be looking forward to Christ's return. It's going to be a glorious day for believers. It's going to be a glorious day for those that belong to him. And what if the rapture comes tomorrow? You don't have to face death on this earth. You don't have to face the dying. That'd be a good thing. We just get to go. So it's not a bad thing to happen when he comes back. People get afraid, but there's nothing to fear. Stand firm in your faith. Stand for the truth. You know, and Jesus is going to take care of him pretty easily. If you go back to verse 8, you know, ever think this is a battle and it may last a long time? It's going to be short. It's going to be a quick battle. Verse 8 says, and if you read more in Revelation, but if you read verse 8, it says, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth, destroyed by the splendor of his coming. It's not going to last long. He's going to be destroyed by the breath of his mouth and the splendor of his coming. You know, Jesus has the power over life and death, and we have life through him. So just fear not. Fear not. Stand firm. Stand strong in your faith. Don't believe the rumors, but be ready. Be ready. Make sure you're ready. You don't want to be here when the time comes that it gets to where the Antichrist is ruling. There'll be people saved. He's got two witnesses. There's going to be 144,000 witnesses that God's leaving here. You don't want to try to do it then. You need to do it now. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the